Hey, everybody, it's your old pal, the Moo Cow, and welcome to the very, very first episode of a brand new podcast coming to your friends from Indie Film Cafe. This one is called Sexploitation Sleazecast. And boy, have we got a show for you tonight. And joining us all the way from Indiana?
Yeah.
Is Rebecca Reinhardt. Say hello.
Hello. I could not be more happy or honored to be on this podcast.
Yay!
Seriously. I'm honored that you chose me, that you thought that I was the female co-host that would be able to handle this.
I'm honored that you just said, I'll take that bullet for the rest of humanity.
Oh, yeah.
Well, before we get into the show, I just kind of briefly sort of wanted to discuss why I wanted to make this podcast. You know, there's not a whole lot of podcasts out there that kind of addresses either porn or porn mashups or anything like that. There's some discussion of porn in general, but I'm kind of not interested in any of that. I'm not really interested in regular porn. I'm really more interested in failure. And there's a lot of really bad stuff out there. And so, you know, that plus, you know, I have a deep abiding love for bad, terrible films as it is, especially with some of our favorite stinky movie directors. And a lot of them in the 60s and 70s, when the laws were starting to change, ended up doing or veering into the porn industry because, you know, the drive-in theater for some of these folks was kind of drying up and they needed other ways in order to make money. So people like Ed Wood got into it, Ray Dennis Steckler got into it, a number of different directors and different writers and actors and people got into this, not always using their normal names. They usually used, you know, pseudonyms to hide it. But what I love is that, you know, especially when it comes to these stinky movie directors, they cannot help themselves. They probably have no real interest at all in making a porn film. They really want to make a horror film. And so they make these weird porn horror movie mashups that are terrible in every way, shape, and form. And then it's like, why don't I just do a podcast that deals with that, plus just bad porn in general, weird, you know, artsy movies that have a strange sexual kind of slant to them, etc. So I figured this was the show to do it. What do you think?
Yeah, so I too am a fan of the schlock. You know that I've been on several of your shows. And yeah, like a lot of, I mean, what we consider, okay, you say stinky directors, but I mean like Herschel Gordon Lewis, like those guys, a lot of them did go to at least softcore porn. And I enjoy their movies in general. So why wouldn't I enjoy their bad porn as well? Now, this one is a little different because we don't even know who made this one.
I know, it's so
this
wonderful.
This one has like so many levels of like exploitation, stinkploitation, whatever, that it is amazing.
I've heard it described as mumble porn. Or hillbilly porn.
Yeah, it's, well, so you know your initial thoughts are exactly like what you should always go with, you know? Mm-hmm. And I believe, let's see, what did I say to you? This feels less like porn and more like evidence submitted in court for a domestic violence case or an exorcism.
Right. Those were... And let's not hold the audience in suspense. Yes. Any longer. We are doing the classic bizarro porn-ish film called Bat Pussy. Internet Movie Database says it came out in 1971, but frankly, nobody really knows. So let's hear a little bit of weird, sketchy music, and then we'll come back and we will discuss this really weird film. Okay, and we are back. So, Bat Pussy. It's porn in theory, I suppose. There is a sort of a general mashing of body parts by some individuals.
There is no actual sex in this movie. No actual like penetration. Well, human genitalia penetration in this
film. And there's
a
reason for that.
Well, yes, there is. And it has nothing to do with censorship or any of those things that you might think.
No.
This guy, the dude who plays Buddy, I believe they mutter his name at some point. He is incredibly flaccid throughout this entire 50-minute thing, despite the fact that he's got these two women, like the one is sucking on him pretty much 40 minutes out of 50 minutes of the movie. And he never gets erect. Remotely.
Not even close. Nope. It's a frightened turtle the entire time.
Oh my God. That was the first thing I said before I did any, like I didn't do a whole lot of research, just watch the movie. That's how I like to do it. And about 5 minutes in, I messaged Paul and I said, I think this guy needs a fluffer.
Oh yeah.
Little did I know that was going to be consistent throughout the entire thing.
Oh my goodness. Well, you know, normally I like to give a little bit of background on this film, but there is no background. Nobody has any idea where the hell this thing came from. Okay, so this is a movie that was discovered in a place called the Paris Adult Theater in Memphis, Tennessee, back in 1995. There was a can that was marked Bat Pussy with a bunch of other old porn films that were just sitting there. And to my knowledge, and to anyone else's knowledge, this is the single only print in existence. And the guy who found it, I think his name is Mike McCarthy, saw it immediately for what it was and reached out to Something Weird Video, which is owned by Mike Rainey, who has sadly passed it on, and said, hey, dude, you've got to see this. There's no information about this movie whatsoever. There's no credits, no directors, no actors, no nothing. And he sold it to Something Weird Video for $1,000 in 1995. And they put it out VHS. as a double header, as part of some kind of like thing about the 70s crappy porn thing. And it just kind of took off from there. And it recently, I think 2017, it came out in Blu-ray, and you know, it has spread the bat pussy love everywhere, because prior to this, nobody even knew this existed. It was just weirdness.
And what I find really hilarious, now, first of all, Something Weird, if we go back to that, I did tell you Something Weird means is something very special to me. So when I was in college, I worked at a cult video store and I got paid, like literally got paid like nothing for a summer, like until the very end of the summer. And I got paid a fraction of what I deserved, but I have good memories. I watched a lot of good, bad stuff. And that was when Something Weird had just started. And so our treat was that we all got to pick out something from the Something Weird catalog.
Nice.
Now, this one is marked as 96. So this would have been a little past my time. This probably would have been one of my choices had it been in the catalog at that time.
Sure. I mean, this is just amazing thing. But let me discuss very, very briefly sort of the reason why this and why porn in general kind of even exists. I mean, there's always been kind of porn around.
I think we know why porn exists.
Yeah. But
we don't know why this exists.
As far as being at least an entertainment possibility in the United States. So, like I said, there's always been some kind of a standard for obscenity in the United States. And from what I've done, I don't mean to present myself as an expert on either the laws of or porn in general, but I did a little research, and it turns out that for a long time, the standard for obscenity was based on a 1968 British case, Regina versus Hicklin. And then the Hicklin rule was basically said that whether the tendency of the matter is to deprave or corrupt peoples whose minds are open to immoral influences and to whose hands a publication of that sort might fall into. This was a very, very broad definition of what was considered obscene. And it applied to pretty much all works, including isolated passages. So you could, you know, take a book and say, you know, any kind of book that you wanted to have suppressed, you could take a passage out of that and simply say that it was obscene and it could get it banned. You know, art could be banned, and, you know, acts like homosexual acts and other things could be banned simply under this very, very broad umbrella term. But that's how we had the laws here in the United States, and it was considered a very serious problem, and it led to the suppression of free expression in a lot of the arts. Excuse me. And it also, there was a problem because it focused on susceptible people, you know. So the next thing that came up is 1957. It was a law called, or there was a case called Roth against the United States. And basically that was a case involving mailing obscene material, you know, that there was, it was a law against that. And basically the judge came out and said that it was for lewdly obscene, lascivious, or filthy materials that is published in indecent character. But it was determined that obscenity is not within the area of constitutionally protected free speech, which is a serious problem. And the thing about that was different about this case is that they did decide that it has to be based on the general theme. So you can't just take a passage or a few words out of a poem or out of a story and say that they're obscene. And then it also said that it has to apply to the average person. So the average person has to look at that and say, oh, that's disgusting. We shouldn't have that, blah, 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 blah. So then comes the 60s and the so-called sexual revolution and the hippies and all that sort of things. And everything kind of loosened up a little bit. And if you ever watched that TV show on HBO called The Deuce, that sort of explores, it's a really good show. And it sort of explores sort of the video thing where the pornography industry sort of emerges in the late 60s and sort of the laws and tendencies around that. And, you know, you could do loops, you could do certain things, you just couldn't show anything. And there was always a problem because people were, whoever was involved, were being arrested for prostitution because they were saying that performers were prostitution, even though we all know that that's not the same thing. So finally, 1973 comes along, and this is the famous Warren Berger case, Miller against California. And basically, they said that in order for this to really be obscene, it has to meet three criteria or three tests. Okay, so first of all, it's if the average person finds the material on the whole obscene, it has to meet that because they said that the previous standard was just far too rigid. Second thing, it has to depict or describe in an offensive way sexual conduct specifically defined by state law, which, you know, you think now it's not a big deal, but back then yeah, you could do anything, even having sex between people who weren't married was considered a state, in some states, a state law. But at least they codified. It wasn't just kind of floating out in the air as to whatever people just thought was obscene. And then finally, it has to say that the work as a whole has to lack serious literary, artistic, political, or scientific value. It has to be just crap made for the sake of crap. And it had the phrase, it had to show patently hardcore sexual conduct. So there's your word hardcore finally coming in. But basically what this did, this is very important because it showed that many porno magazines, like your regular skin magazines, books, movies, and everything, were no longer considered legally obscene. So that set the groundwork there for the sort of loosening of the standards. And it was just considered that those obscenity laws were just too vague and they sort of trampled on fundamental First Amendment rights of free speech. And this kind of went back and forth a little ways into the 80s. And then finally, the big case was People versus Freeman in 1988, where basically the judge came out and said that film is expressive material protected by First Amendment rights of free speech. And, you know, you can't just go around and criminalize people for this. So that kind of opened up the doors to where things are today. And so that pussy was created kind of sort of where this was all beginning. We think, because again, we don't really know exactly. There are some clues. I do notice, I don't know if you noticed, but at one point, Buddy is picking up the Screw magazine.
Screw magazine, yes.
And if you look closely, it's dated September 14th, 1970. So even though this thing reeks of the 60s, it can't have been earlier than 1970, rather.
Yeah.
Because Screw magazine itself didn't exist until 1968. And then the music, again, reeks of the 60s. Well, that's because it was taken from Neil Hefti. Neil Hefti is he was a trumpet player and a composer and a jazz guy. And he did a bunch of stuff for film and TV. He did the Batman theme. He did music for The Odd Couple. He did a whole bunch of stuff. And this is part of his 1966 album, Batman Theme and 11 Other Stories. So they just kind of grabbed that and shoved it on there. So you got to know that's, you know, it's past 1966. otherwise, yeah, 1971, 72, maybe.
I saw 73 as well. So, I mean, it could be any of these and it doesn't really matter. Obviously, they kind of missed the boat anyway, because by 70, I'm thinking like Batwoman and Batman parody type things are probably not the most popular things, but
not at that point, no.
No, but they could probably skirt a little bit of copyright too. Nobody cares at that point.
All right. So I'm going to let you get the chance to sort of encapsulate the plot of Bat Pussy, if you can.
Okay. So I know that this is not the kind of show where you go beat by beat through the movies. I'm used to taking notes, detailed notes. I wasn't taking notes when I started watching this, but then I went and grabbed a pad of paper because I had to write down some of the things that were said in this that I knew I would never be able to recite verbatim later. So Buddy and Sam are apparently, okay, you put together the clues. They're a married couple. They've been married for 9 or 11 years. The entire thing is ad-libbed. And it's basically them. It's like just watching like two people bicker naked while like shoving their fingers in orifices.
While being drunk, I think.
Yes, they are totally sloppy drunk. They are slurring. Their words are slurring. There are times where it's just, they're kind of falling over each other. There are some beautiful times where the audio just kind of cuts out and one of them looks over and whispers to the other one because the director is given instructions. And there's even at one point that the director says something and Buddy is like, he's looking like, and he goes, "Do what?" And she like nudges him over and it like totally whispers. And she's like, "He said to fuck me."
Oh my God.
Yes. That one I think is at the, that was my favorite one. That was at the 30 minute mark.
Well, I love the part where they like roll off the bed the first time and Buddy lands unceremoniously with his butt right on Batwoman's face, or Bat Pussy's face.
Bat Pussy's face. And he goes, "Did I hurt you?" And then he looks up at the director. He goes, "Oh shit, I hurt her."
Oh my goodness. But please go on.
Okay. So this is, this movie was made by complete amateurs. I could see why nobody knows who these people are, because if I were involved in this film, I would not admit it at all.
Oh my goodness.
It is terrible. It is entertaining. Like by the end, my face hurts. And I saw that it was only 50 minutes and I'm like, oh, okay. So by the end, I was like, oh my God, this is the longest 50 minutes.
Yes, seriously. It's like, oh my God, it is an endurance test. It really, really is.
Yes, because basically it consists of like four pieces. You've got the couple fighting and sort of fucking, and she whores herself out, but he never wants to do her, and he does a secretary, but he loves her, and blah 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 blah, but she never cooks supper, like all these really, really random fight things and insult. I think my favorite one of all of it, though, that I will probably do some more quotes, but this was my favorite one, when at one point he's telling her like how lovely her pussy is, and then a few minutes later he said, you ain't got pussy. Why? All you got is a goddamn washboard. What? I'm like, where, you know, and the thing is, there was one of those like little wash basin things in the room. And you know that that's what he did, was like, he just looked over. He's like, all you got is a wash tub. Like,
just so many lines. Like, she's like, you know, kiss my money making that ass, you motherfucker.
Oh my God.
Like, yeah, really? So like, nobody on earth talks, at least I hope nobody talks to each other that way.
Well, okay, here's my other fun one, just to give you guys a little bit more insight. These are the two that I marked down. So then he's constantly going down on her because he is completely flaccid. There's no way. There's a couple times where he tries to act like he's actually like screwing one of them, but like you can clearly see his little flaccid dick just flinging behind him. Like, he's like, good try, buddy. Good try. But so he's constantly going down on his wife and either telling her how magnificent she is or telling her what kind of whore she is. But he like spits and he goes, "What? You're coming in my mouth. Quit it. What the fuck is this shit? Why are you coming in my mouth?" Like,
oh God.
I just was like, it was such a like, I I don't know if there was LSD involved too or whatever, but it was definitely like a whiskey heavy set. But things get better when you have Bat Pussy yes. in her headquarters. Dora Dildo, I believe is her name.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a whole other level. So we've got like two parts of those guys by themselves. And we've got like a part with Bat Pussy getting there, which I'm sure we'll talk about. And we've got Bat Pussy with the couple, which is kind of like your climax of the porn.
If you can call
or, as I said, like the exorcism scene.
Or if you can think of like a bunch of like blubbery walruses all sort of like blubbering on top of each other, just sort of randomly.
I'd watch walrus porn again before I'd watch this again. As porn. This is not like sexy porn.
Oh, this is anti-porn.
Oh my God. This is like a... Jesus Christ, like I don't want to have sex for like at least a week after seeing this movie.
Let me briefly read this little paragraph of another reviewer because I think it encapsulates it perfectly. He says, "The bulk of this film depicts a singularly unattractive couple clumsily mauling each other in bed while arguing and complaining. At no mm-hmm. time during the entire film does the man achieve an erection of any kind. The couple argue and insult each other and then mush their bodies together in profoundly unappealing ways. Almost all the footage is shot from the front of the bed by a camera sitting motionless on a tripod as lifeless as the man character's penis."
That right there. I mean, why are we even doing this podcast? But that only addresses the couple because then you have Bat Pussy who is, so we get to her headquarters and we have the narrator. He says, she can always tell there's something going on when her twat is about to twitch. Cut to Bat Pussy saying, "My secret twat tells me someone's gonna make a fuck movie in my town."
My holy Gotham City is what he says. She says, "My holy Gotham City."
Oh my God. And then we have it. I timed it. It was a full minute. Well, this is a job for Bat Pussy. She needs to put on her uniform. And it's a full minute of a woman clumsily and drunken getting into like leggings and like the full, you know, like this oversized t-shirt. She's tucking into the leggings and she's just talking the whole time about how these people are supposed to make fuck movies without her. They're not supposed to have any of this without Bat Pussy. They know and this.
We're talking about somebody's basement. Okay, because there's like an old couch that's probably mildew and stained with God knows what. And we know that it's her secret base or her secret hideout because somebody scrawled on a piece of cardboard and taped it up on a wall that says Bat Pussy's secret headquarters.
Mm-hmm. And when she pops out of her secret headquarters, it's up above ground. It is just an outhouse.
Right.
And then I think this is one of my favorite things. Like at least here you knew they were, it almost feels like two movies at this point, but at least you knew that somebody had a sense of humor, at least in the editing room, because her mode of transportation is one of those hippity hop things, those balls with a handle. And she's hopping. She's hopping through a field.
Holy.
But every time she hops, it goes boing, boing, boing.
Boing, 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 with this acid washed music in the background.
And at one point, she stops. Gets off very languidly, like everything is padded very heavily, gets off the hippity hop, drops trout and takes a piss by the lake.
As you do.
And gets back on the hippity hop.
And this is the thing that takes it from just like a regular kind of porn movie into something completely special and unique because this whole thing with the hoppity hop, I don't think there's a human on the planet who was expecting that.
Oh, well, I mean, except for if you saw the cover of it, but you would think it would have been like turbo powered or something, you know, you wouldn't have thought it was actually, and she's getting on the interstate. She is coming onto an on-ramp where there's traffic, literal, like real traffic. Cause these people did not have the money to like walk off the roads.
Away from getting splattered.
Yes, and she's just hopping one hop at a time on the goddamn interstate.
And it's very slow. And every third hop or so is going backwards because she doesn't know how to do it properly. So it's like...
She never had one as a kid, I guess.
I mean, it must have taken a half an hour to go, you know, 20 feet.
Oh my God. Yeah, that is exactly what makes it more special. And it's only that. Because the rest of it is just, I mean, so repetitive and so terrible.
And let's not forget that she does cement her bat pussy bona fides when she stops hopping because there's some woman standing there. And all of a sudden, this guy comes running literally off camera and starts, I don't know what he's doing.
It's like an attempted rape. Like, it's broad daylight in the middle of a field. He's running up to this woman to like assault her when there's this chick on a hippity hop, like 5 feet away from him.
And she starts to beat the shit out of him when this hippity hop is so funny. And she beats the shit out of him until he collapses. And then the other girl's like, oh, whatever. And she just runs off right to the camera.
Thank you, Bat Pussy. Whatever. Oh my God.
Oh my God. So yes, that made this movie into something so
something
special.
Very special.
Somebody, some very, very, very nice person took just the non-porn stuff out of Bat Pussy and put it all together and put it up on YouTube. And I like to share that with people because it's like, you've got to see just for this alone, it's priceless.
So ridiculous. But that's the only like real like Bat Pussy stuff we have. Because then we go back to the couple. And then when she comes in as Bat Pussy, all she does is join them in a threesome. Like there's no like, I am Bat Pussy and I am here to, you know, do anything. She's just like, they start ripping off her uniform. And then like, it's like the third act.
And then it's just more, you know, random mindless mushing. There's
oh my
nothing.
God. It's just more people like sloppy drunk. Like, oh my God, now they're half a bottle into that Jack Daniels.
Bat Pussy herself is kind of cute. I mean, there's nothing wrong with her. The other two are kind of meh.
Yeah,
sure, but you know.
She was all right. They were all trashy, but yeah, no. Bat Pussy. From what you could see, because it is really low quality, and she never gets a close up. None of them ever get a close up, which is probably a good thing. Yeah, she was the most attractive of the three for sure.
Yeah. Oh well, the camera angle never changes, and you never get anything. I mean,
there was the occasional zoom, but yes, it's one camera in the corner.
But otherwise, yeah, the guys set it up, turn it on, and whatever happened. It didn't really matter what.
Yeah. You know, but we do know that he directed by as many times as the
right,
sound cut
right.
out, and
they
knew he
fell
was...
off the bed a few times, or you know, I mean, a raccoon could have jumped in out of nowhere. They would just keep rolling.
So we get back to the couple and we have more colorful things. This is the other thing that makes it special, aside from the fact that he's the worst porn actor in the history of porn. I mean, seriously. But he says, and knowing this is ad lib is like, it just, I would just love to have talked to these people for 10 minutes.
I know.
But my horoscope said today that I need to fuck you. Oh, really? Yeah, it said I need to fuck you in the nose. Where the hell did he come up from that? And then he says, like later he says, I want to fuck you in the armpit. Like, what in the fuck is this guy? Like, I want to know what he probably died like in a gutter. Like,
I'm sure they're
later.
All dead by now, which is a shame. I would love to find these people and identify them first and then just talk to them. Like,
oh my
what's
God.
Going on here? I mean, you have to wonder if these people are trying to make an actual movie that gets people off, they fail in every possible conceivable way.
Well, let's just say that none of them get,
you know, it's very, very different, but I don't think so.
None of them get off. There's not an orgasm in this entire movie. It is all just like seriously, like people just like swatting at like different body parts or something. I mean,
very clumsy, very awkward.
I think the only one who gets their rocks off maybe is the wife, like later on when she gets out, she has a dildo later because she's just sick of him with Bat Pussy. She just decides to take care of her own matters.
I suppose. I try not to think about it. But there are a couple of things to notice. A, did you notice Buddy? First of all, she calls him Buddy. So apparently she knows these two. Secondly, he mistakenly calls her Batwoman.
Batwoman a million times.
I know.
And she, at one point, she corrects him.
So that was funny. And then Bat Pussy herself, did you notice? She coughs throughout the whole thing.
Yes. She
so
yes,
much. Got a- I'm like, does she have tuberculosis or something? What is going on?
Yes, I did notice that. Oh, wait, here, and here's another one of my favorite things too. They have the, these people are married and they mention one point they're married for 9 years. One point they say they're married for 11. The beginning, you don't even think, they act like they've never even had sex. It's all weird. But anyway, then he's like looking at her crotch going, oh, like, you got a big pussy. Well, if any kid ever came out of that, then they'd be a monster. And she's like, well, we have two kids. Like, they can't even agree on their ad-libbing. Like their backstory.
Right.
And then he's like, oh, fuck your kids. She's like, if you ever talk about or try to fuck my kids, I'm gonna blah, blah, blah. I was like, man, they are so like not on the same page.
Right now, it definitely veered into something very dark there for a moment.
Yes.
But you know, she, the quote unquote size of her pussy gets mentioned quite a lot. And I think at one point her retort was something like, yeah, but my lawyer doesn't mind it. I'm like,
yes. Yeah. What? So yeah, she decides to throw that in somewhere along the line that she continually says it, like something about you'd have to pay child support because I'm, you know, banging my lawyer and he likes me.
And she like loses every opportunity that she could have just come back and said, you know, you've got a tiny little penis that never gets hard. Hello.
Yeah. Oh, and here's another great thing is later on, because he keeps pointing to the damn magazine. He's like, let's do this like they did in the magazines, pointing to random pictures.
And they'll make a fortune.
They make a fortune making movies, but of course they don't have a second camera, a second video camera, so they never actually make a movie. The best they can do is they have a still camera that he takes pictures later, but that's supposed to be the whole thing, is they're supposed to be making a movie and that's what triggers Bat Pussy,
right?
But they don't have another video camera to actually incorporate into the movie. So that never happens. Sorry,
that's okay.
I digress. So at one point he's like pointing at the magazine. He's like, okay, we need to suck my balls. She starts sucking his balls and he's like, oh, you see what it's doing to it? See what it's doing to it? See what it's doing to it?
Nothing. Nope. He reminds me of one of those annoying little dogs that gets their nuts cut off and they can't get hard anymore, but they still try to hump your leg even though there's no hard on whatsoever. That's what he reminds me of.
Yeah. And he definitely was just a kind of, I mean, half the time she's laying there, the wife is laying there, like, you can tell she's about ready to pass out. Like, she's so trashed. She's got that lazy drunk thing going, like, oh, like her head's kind of wobbly. And and he's just like, he's almost like on something because he's just constantly moving. He's just like, he's up, he's down, he's around, he's blah, blah, blah. Like, he's like super extra hyper. Oh my God.
Right. The only thing he can't do is get a hard on, which is why I'm thinking he's either drunk or he's stoned. And, you know,
or both.
And that takes his erection away if he ever had one.
So Bat Pussy does not come into this until 34 minutes into a 50-minute movie. She doesn't come to their house. But as soon as she gets there, like I said, all they do is just like they rip off her clothes and she joins in as clumsily as the two of them have been doing the entire movie.
Right.
And she even goes Edith Bunker on him. Like she starts like insulting him and they're like having like this like old married couple fight.
Right.
And it's like, geez, Bat Pussy, you know, like it doesn't take long to start going in there and realize what a dick this guy is.
It's just like, you got to think, are they ad-libbing from memory? Is this what they think people do normally? I mean, do they think people who watch these films, that this is what they expect? You know,
this is a healthy, functional relationship in any way, shape, or form.
Right. Well, I decided to make this, had no idea how to make a film. You know, even by porn movie standards, I mean, usually when you're looking at a porn, and nobody even really makes movies anymore. They're just doing clips. And all you do is basically you're having sex acts for like 30 seconds, a minute, maybe 15 seconds. That's it. There's nothing like that here. This is one long, continuous take. They sat it on a tripod. They pointed it at these people. They turned it on. They let it go. You know,
and like I said, and then the director just kind of shouted things at them every once in a while, and most of the time they couldn't even understand.
It was so ridiculous. It's like, you know, that somebody, I don't know. I wonder sometimes if maybe Al Goldstein, the guy who owns Screw, just kind of was like, hey, let's make a, you know, I'm going to put some money behind there. Maybe he looked for somebody and someone said, oh, I can make this, and got some money.
I doubt it, just because they didn't like highlight that it was Screw magazine. I mean, you could see it, but you could also see they were drinking Schlitz too.
Yeah.
Like they just didn't care. It was like, they didn't care about like copy. Obviously you said they had ripped off some guy's music for it. They didn't care about like copyright.
But and if that doesn't set how romantic this movie is, Screw magazine and Schlitz.
There was a bottle of some kind of alcohol that he was like, they were chugging on. I'm sorry. Yeah.
And you know, I mean, there's going to be people out there who say, well, you know, there's a lot of people in the sex industry who do drink or get high or have to use drugs. Like, no, this, trust me, these people do this professionally. They do this all the time. They get shit-faced pretty much on a constant basis. You can tell.
These people are not professionals. That's the thing, though. You can tell these were one time, one and done, never in a porn again, or else we would know.
Right.
They must have been. So there is like speculation of where this came from. So even though it was found in Tennessee, Mike Vraney was in an interview once and said something about he loves porn from Texas.
Yeah, I read that.
And then the guy has an Arkansas Razorback tattoo on him. So those are like the only clues as to where this, I mean, but obviously this is somewhere in the South.
Right.
And there's no way this is not in the South.
I was wondering, you know, that one stretch where Bat Pussy is booping her way down the highway.
Yeah. It's
very, very flat. Like I almost thought maybe Florida or Louisiana, someplace where there's just no topography, yeah, where it's very, but it's hard to tell, you know, and then.
And it's such a small little clip too. I mean.
Right. And then, you know, where she, you know, hoppity hops her way into the apartment building.
Right.
You know, I thought maybe if I looked really carefully, I could find like a car license plate that would give us some kind of sign, but you know, I couldn't find any.
The one thing that they did care about protecting, apparently, not Schlitz, not Screw magazine, but the license plates of all those. If you went back, you might be able to tell, but I know a lot of people have analyzed this a lot more than we have.
Well, here's the thing. There is a Blu-ray with a 2K restoration. I am dying to get my hands in there. Not only does it got all kinds of wonderful extras on there, but can you imagine seeing Buddy in all his limp glory on digitally enhanced experience?
Like, I like how you say you like to get your hands near, because that actually is how the movie is. There's no getting hands on. You're just getting hands near the whole time.
Yes. It's just, I don't know, an exercise in futility, an absurdity in the extreme. And the fact that you can't get this on Amazon because they consider pornography is grotesque. It's just bizarre.
It's an insult to pornography.
Yes.
Sorry.
This is a comedy. This is the Room mixed up with the worst porn movie you could think of.
So the last, like when they get to like their big orgy, like they have like a little bit of interaction with Bat Pussy. Like they say specific things, but then they get into just the mishmashing of, you know, bodies. And I'm pretty sure all they did was they took the audio of when the couple was fighting at the beginning and they looped it over that, because nobody's really talking.
Right.
You can't see anybody's face because everything is covered, but it's the same damn thing. I mean, it's a toss up because everything they said, they just kept repeating anyway.
Right.
But I'm pretty sure it was the exact same dialogue from the first act, just looped over it, because they were probably like, well, nobody's going to want to watch this. They at least need some fighting. Come on, we need to fight.
But we were warned at the very, very beginning by the very kind manager of the Dragon Arts Theater, letting us know that this was going to be a sexually explicit movie.
Mm-hmm. And if you, and I like how he tells you, so if you are, you know, if this is, you know, if you're susceptible to this kind of stuff, blah, 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 then you should never buy a ticket to this theater. I'd be like, if I watched this movie, I'd never be going back to that theater.
Are you kidding? I would love it. I could imagine. True. Imagine taking your friends to see this and not telling them what it is. Just
my God.
We're going to watch this movie. I'm not going to tell you the title. I'm not going to tell you anything about it. I just want you to react to this film.
I'm only going to say one more of the quotes, and this came from the threesome time when he's starting to profess his love for Bat Pussy.
Oh my God.
After telling her she's a bitch and whatever. But he says to his wife, he wants her to go down on Bat Pussy. And he says, "We're gonna all live together. Suck that woman's pussy."
Oh my goodness.
And you know, Bat Pussy's got to be thinking, wait a minute, I just came in here for a threesome and suddenly like I'm a sister wife. What the fuck?
So fortunately, Internet Movie Database does have some of this dialogue preserved for all time. And here's one of my favorite exchanges here. It says, "Unidentified drunk male hillbilly. Hey, hey, put a dick right there and you're goddamn unintelligible." And then says, "That's what you got to do. Tickle your goddamn tonsils. Tickle your goddamn tonsils on that motherfucker. You don't know how to suck a dick, do you? Bat Pussy knows how to suck a dick."
Yep. But then later, no, Bat Pussy doesn't know how to suck a dick. She gets like totally degraded because she isn't good at it.
Right. And she's always talking about her lawyer. She goes, "I'm getting a divorce tomorrow. My lawyer's better in morning bed than you are."
Yeah. And he's with all the broads. He does a secretary and all these other broads. I was thinking, well, hopefully he can get it up for them.
I mean,
she does mention that she only gets the leftovers. So maybe, I mean, he's had like a really, really big night before he comes home. So
you got to understand, folks, at one point, at least one of them belches. Mm-hmm. I think at least one of them farts.
He blows in her vagina.
Yes.
like that.
Or something.
Yep.
What the hell?
And I'm pretty sure at one point too, he's just motorboating her vagina as well. Cause he's just like you actually hear kind of the blah.
Right. And you know, there are times when the dialogue just drops out because that's the guy, the cameraman off camera telling them fucking do something, mm-hmm. you know? And so they drop it out so that you don't actually hear what their guy's saying. Although they're not consistent with that because you do hear things on occasion.
Oh yes. There are times where you literally hear another guy, you see them look over at the camera or, you know, behind the camera, and you can see them trying to process what they're hearing. Like, yeah.
It's yeah. Okay. Huh? Huh?
Yeah. Huh? And the one time the guy said, "Do what?" She's like, "He wants you to fuck me." Like, oh my God.
The idea, the concept of a take that, okay, maybe you weren't perfect on this, let's just redo it again. No.
Or you know, he must have not had like any kind of editing either. Like, cause he's just like, "This is it. Here's real one. We cut it." We just keep going. Like, there really are only like four cuts in the entire movie.
That's amazing. It really, really is.
It is something to behold.
It's postmodernist in a way that it truly did not mean to be. You know, it's just so strange. Like I said, you'd think that this would make a fantastic parody, but I don't believe these guys were working or were doing this as a parody. They were trying to make this as a fuck film.
It might have started like, because you do get the impression that everything was filmed like completely like the Bat Pussy stuff seemed to almost be like they had a good idea and they started with that, but then like they were like, well, this isn't going to work, so let's just make a porn.
My goodness. Yeah, I think their intention was to make a porn. I think to get the kids, quote unquote, interested, that's why they brought in Bat Pussy, because, yeah.
Which, again, it was probably not very popular by this point in time anyway.
But what, you know, really, who had the brainstorm for the Hoppity Hop? These things didn't exist until 1968, so they were fairly recent. I mean, was this like a craze in the early 70s, late 60s, early 70s?
I don't know. I mean, I had one when I was a kid.
I had one when I was a kid too.
But yeah, there had to have been something. Somebody saw one at a store or they got one for their kid and they're like, we have to put this in the movie.
Right. It's so strange.
And again, we will never know. That's the sad thing. See, this is the kind of movie I would kill to have a commentary track for.
Well, in the Blu-ray, there is. It's just not going to be by the people who actually.
Right. No. And that's what I mean. Like a commentary, actually, like of them go, well, we were in my kid's garage. I'm in our garage. And we had to move out the Hippity Hop because we were filming Bat Pussy stuff in there. So we thought, well, let's just use the Hippity Hop for Bat Pussy.
And trust me, there are a lot of serious film scholars out there. And some of them have looked into this, and there's really no way to determine who's responsible, who's in this, who mm-hmm. made it. There's just no information. There's no clue. You know, I know one guy went back into like the advertisements that were in newspapers and porn magazines in the early 70s to see if there was a release, to see if there was advertising. Nothing. This is like a one and done, one print exists, and that's it.
Well, they probably showed it at Dragon Arts. No one wanted to see it, and then they shelved it.
No one wanted to see it. Can you imagine?
Which I did look up Dragon Arts Theater, and at least the one that comes up now is in Florida.
Okay.
But again, it was found somewhere in Tennessee, and blah, blah, blah. You know, I mean, this movie is just, I adore this kind of thing. Just kind of like, sure. In a time of the internet where we can find out anything we want, we will never know certain things about the mysterious bat pussy.
It's like a legend, you know? The origins are lost in the mists of time. We'll never know.
That is true.
Thank God for Mike Rainey and Something Weird Video for having the foresight for finding this and rescuing it from obscurity, because otherwise it probably would have ended up in the trash. Nobody would have seen it. And Something Weird is just wonderful like that. They go out of their way to find and restore and bring back to life some very strange films, some really bad ones.
Very rarely do they handle like bigger, like movies that you're like kind of, you know, at least your casual like watcher would have heard of. I mean, they did release, I think, a Basket Case and stuff, but Frank Henenlotter is like, he curates some of the stuff for them. So they really don't have movies that anyone else has ever even considered picking up.
The only one that comes close is Sinister Cinema, but Sinister Cinema tends not to dive into some of the more adult oriented stuff, where Something Weird goes there with no
problem. Right, and other companies don't. Yeah.
Right. But just so that you know, especially if you happen to be a Something Weird fan, there's going to be a number of Something Weird videos that we're going to be covering during our first season of Sexploitation Sleaze.
Good.
Because this is right up my dark, scary alley. And it's a good way to start, because there's going to be other stuff that's coming out that we're going to cover that maybe isn't quite so hardcore-ish, might have a little bit more gore, might have a little more, you know, violence, but is going to be equally fail oriented anyway. But yeah, there's going to be quite an interesting variety of stuff, and it's great because it's a lot of stuff that we just couldn't shoehorn it into, you know, Indie Film Cafe or even What the Fuck Fridays. We had some other folks who were co-hosting that just didn't feel comfortable seeing that kind of
stuff. Me.
And therein lies the miracle of our friend Rebecca Reinhardt.
That's she right.
watched just about anything, yes. pretty much like I am.
Yeah, and even enjoy it. Like I said, by the time at the end of the 50 longest minutes of my life, my face hurt because I was laughing so hard. And I was watching this outside with headphones on my laptop, and my neighbors were outside doing yard work, and I just didn't even care. I was cackling. And I'm like, they probably are like, what the hell is she doing? Because I'm cackling to myself. But I'm like, nope, no need to explain.
I know. Well, the thing was, you know, at the time, I'm like, well, I had these two ideas for a podcast. And I was talking to Moody about it. I'm like, well, part of me wants to do sort of an extreme horror thing, where it's just some of the worst, most violent, most horrific stuff that's out there. You know, Serbian film and much, 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 much worse. But there are a number of other, you know, podcasts and things that cover that sort of thing. And even though I have a lot of that stuff and it's interesting, yeah, like I said, it's kind of been done. Nobody was really covering sort of the bat pussy kind of thing, or, you know, cannibal orgy, or, you know, that kind of weird stuff that we're about to embark upon. So
yeah, this is fun. I love it.
When push came to shove, I figured, you know, I always like to go and talk about the stuff that very few people have heard of, sort of shine the spotlight on it a little bit, get people interested, because, you know, it's all about making sure that these things don't fade away into the mists of time, if they're not forgotten, as long as they're entertaining. You know, it may be a failure as a film, but if it makes you laugh, if it entertains you,
this is not a failure as a piece of entertainment.
Accidental entertainment.
It is. Absolutely. Yes. It is something to behold, folks.
I mean, from a production standpoint, it pretty much fails every possible category you can think of, except for maybe the music. I thought the music that they stole from
they stole it.
Yeah, that they stole from Neil Hefti. That was really cool. By the way, the song is called Sewer Lady. I don't know whether I mentioned that.
No.
I know, believe it or not. But
and there is one cool artsy shot at the beginning. So when they're first starting to argue, the guy is at a desk. And the woman's on the bed and there's a mirror on the wall and they're only catching the woman through the mirror. Like, but you realize later it's just complete accident because that's exactly where the camera was the whole time. So when he moves over to the bed, the camera doesn't move. Like they just set the camera up there and then they're like, oh shit, we got to do this stuff over at the desk. Let's make sure you're still in frame.
Right. I think there were two lights. They never moved. They never changed them. The bed, oh my God, like the top sheet did not match the bottom sheet. And I'm telling you, that bottom sheet looked rough. It looked like something that came out of a prison.
Yeah, it looked like it smelled.
Yes.
Oh. You know, it looked like that entire room just kind of had an odor about it.
It definitely stank of old Schlitz and body odor. And probably cigarettes.
Oh my God, God knows what else.
There are two internal sets. There's the fuck room, which is the best way of calling it. And then there's the hideaway, Bad Pussy's hideaway. Yes. Other than that, there's, you know, a couple of external shots, you know, the one where you get to see the outhouse.
They didn't get permission to like
show. No, that's guerrilla filmmaking. It's wonderful.
Yes.
But there's the outhouse. There's the one where she's hopping her way down the highway and hopefully not getting splattered by a truck. And then there's the outside of the apartment complex.
Which is probably where one of them probably lived. I mean, I'm assuming that is where the room was.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is, we can extrapolate that far.
Right. The part where she just kind of stops hopping for a second, goes over and takes a pee. I mean, I guess that's
cinematic gold.
I guess that's the joke. That's the humor to sort of lighten the mood.
I don't know. I think, you know what, though? This movie does do something that no other superhero movie has ever done. And that is, it shows our superhero in a very human light.
Right,
I mean, we
see
her, like, stumbling as she's trying to put her pants on. We see her peeing. You know, they're people just like us.
We see her not manscaping. Nobody manscapes in this film.
That's not the fault of, you know, that's more of the societal thing. But yes.
Yeah.
There is that is the one thing you can say that there is a lot of, and that is pubic hair.
Oh yeah. There definitely needs to have been a little bit of napalm dropped on the bad bush out there.
But that was the style. So.
I know. My goodness.
You can't judge things for, you know, for the time that they were made in, but you can certainly judge this for about just everything else.
Well, like I said, you know, Bad Pussy herself wasn't that bad. As far as porn performers go, I've seen as bad, if not worse, and certainly she wasn't bad to look at. The other two were just—they were like the worst possible trailer trash you can ever.
Oh yeah, but I love when she's at her headquarters when she's like mumbling to herself and trying to put her clothes on. She's like that drunk chick who's been like turned down by like three guys at the bar, and so she starts getting really belligerent. That's her.
there you go. And her costume, like some kind of like, they almost look like pajamas or something, just very hastily thrown together, clearly.
It's like leggings of some sort,
right?
And then a long sleeve t-shirt with some kind of bat print thing on it, almost looks like a pajama thing. Tucks it in. She puts basically a black bathing suit bottom over it. And then has something that she puts on her legs, like, you know, some kind of like little booty things and some arm things, and then a very shoddy cape.
But I love how the fact that in the hideaway, you're right, it takes like a good couple of minutes to sit there and watch her do it. But when she leaves at the end, when she's finally just disgusted, it takes all of 5 seconds for her to sort of just kind of put a couple things on, and boof, she's gone.
She just does. She's like, I'm out of here. She just puts on her cape, ass naked, grabs her shit, gets her hippity hop and goes.
And the other two are just kind of like laying there like,
Yeah. So that was our experience with bat pussy, honey. Our lives will never be the same. Oh, and that's what all the viewers are thinking as well.
Yes, yes. And you seriously must get a copy. You must
You've got to. And support Something Weird. They are a super cool label that puts out very obscure, very, they're very into like resurrecting stuff like this. That just,
right. And, you know, and while this may deserve its obscurity, I completely understand that. On the other hand, trust me, you are going to laugh your ass off. Yes. It's so grotesque. How could you not?
Yep.
Okay, so I guess we're finally at the part where we're going to talk about rating the movie. Now, we're going to do this a little bit differently than we do on any film cafe where we talk about the amount of stink. In this case...
The stink is really heavy in this one. Oh, yeah, like we said, you can actually see the stench. Absolutely. But we're not talking about that.
Instead, because these are sexploitation type films, we're really going to talk about, you know, how effective were they as far as being, you know, I see you laughing over there. And so the way we decided to do this was, you know, A, is this movie, is it, how many boners does it get? You know, is it bone worthy? Well, is this movie bone worthy?
The answer just by definition is zero on that one.
No, okay. If it was bone worthy, then you could award up to 5 boners. But since clearly this is not bone worthy, we're not going to go there. So instead, we're going to look at our other scores, which is semi-erect, which means it's kind of okay, maybe. And then there is Mr. Softy, which means that it was just unerect, just like poor Buddy the entire time, and not giving you any kind of sexual thrill whatsoever. To finally frighten Turtle, which, because your penis is so terrified, it's gone back inside the body and you are not thinking of sex at all ever again. Yeah, when it comes to rating this particular film, this movie is definitely an anti-boner. So for me, I gotta give it a frightened turtle.
Just like I said, just the actual movie itself features a frightened turtle the entire time. I don't know how we could give it any other rating.
Right. It strikes me that, you know, there are people out there who, for whatever reason, they just decide that porn is just this horrible, horrible thing. And they try all these different therapies and things to quote unquote cure people of watching porn. This is the cure to watch porn. To a 13-year-old boy, he's never going to touch himself again. He's never going to see a porn movie again. He's been cured of sex forever.
I mean, the most that this movie had, like, is there were a couple, like, up close, like, vagina shots. You know, and then the one girl, like I said at the end, she had a dildo, and she was like, they did like close-ups of that. That was the closest to like actual porn that this movie ever got. And we're talking in a 50-minute movie. We're talking maybe a 30-second, you know, chunk of the movie.
Chunk is a good way to describe it.
Chunk, yes, chunk.
A chunk of steaming blubber is kind of the image that I have. Yes. Hairy steaming blubber. There's really nothing about this. This movie will not cure anyone's poor libido. This is a libido killer. Mm-hmm. It's just bad. This could be very well in the top 5 worst things I have ever seen any kind of film, regardless of anything.
Okay, and I would say the same, and I would say maybe top 10, but to qualify the top 10 worst things that I still enjoy, because there is that whole category. I mean, there is the whole so bad it's good. There is like a category of this, it's so bad, it's bad.
Awful. Usually because it's boring.
Right. This was not boring.
Right. We've always said that on Indie Film Cafe, the cardinal sin of bad filmmaking is to be boring. There, you know, something like, you know, if you've ever seen The Terror, to me, that's just a terrible film because it is so boring and nothing happens. Yeah. I hate movies like that.
It's what I've heard about, and I won't watch it because of this. It's kind of what I've heard about Danzig's Veronica, is like, it's not even fun to watch. It's just really so bad. You just sit there and you think people gave him money the whole time. And I'm like, that doesn't sound enjoyable to me. People are like, oh my God, it's so bad. I'd watch it. But when people are just like, no, it's such a waste of time. Like, people that I know who enjoy things like this, So, you know, it is just so dumb and dull and boring. Then I'm like, nope.
Right. Yeah. No, it's like when you look at that bell curve of films, I love everything at the very far end of excellence, and I love everything at the very ass end of failure. It's that chunk in the middle that, you know, where Hollywood tends to sit, where things are kind of like not really very memorable and either dull or just kind of meh. You know, it moves tickets and that's about it. I just have no use for that sort of thing.
That 10% on either end.
I'd much rather watch a highly entertaining failure than to watch a moderately successful dull film. Yeah. No interest. All right, cats and kitties. Well, I think this is good enough to wrap up our first episode of Sexploitation Sleazecast. You survived it, Rebecca. What do you think?
We have officially talked about this movie longer than the film is.
There you go.
Yes.
There you go. Outstanding. Well, thanks very much for joining us, Rebecca. I'm sure you can't wait for next month's episode.
I got
something special lined up for us for that as well. And I'll make sure that you get it very, very soon. And thanks to everybody else who's joined us. And we hope that you will join us for our next episode of Sexploitation Sleazecast. And we will see you next time.
Later.
Bye.